for our nation. Good afternoon, good evening to all the people who are somewhere from sea to shining sea and to the shores beyond the shores. This is the one stop for a breath of fresh air, Power Our Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today is going to be Scott Bennett for one of those fasten-your-seatbelt thrill rides into geopolitics. And we really appreciate Jack Mullen coming on last for a similar type of affair. It was fantastic. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory, and there's no greater victory than cavalry, and no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming posse, and we're going to all sorts of places, all the war zones, the Middle East, talk about Venezuela, and a ship being seized in Asia. It's going to be a very interesting posse. Then, of course, we always have to stop by D.C. once in a while and lift the veil and look underneath and just see what evil machinations are going on there, because leave them unchecked, leave them in the dark, and it's about all they can do is come up with some new demented form of taxation, stripping of rights, alienation of the Constitution from the people that deserve this fine document. We also have a very, very disturbing story that I saw as I opened my emails this morning, checking with my research assistant. Julian Assange is being tortured with a psychotropic drug. He's been given the classic, horrible drug called BZ. I don't know if I can pronounce the chemical name, but it's probably a whole lot easier to look up that way. And this drug can have terrible side effects. It's basically used for psychological torture, giving you the equivalent of a chemical lobotomy, and just something that is the lowest of the low in any state that should profess to be free and democratic. We would expect the North Koreans to do this. We would expect maybe the North Vietnamese to do this, the Communist Chinese, Stalin, Adolf. But merry old England, with the benefactor of the United States government and some of its enforcement agencies, that's just absolutely despicable. And we see this dog and pony show they put on. The royal family has a child. Archie's in the world. Well, God bless you, Archie. In the wings, in the background, nothing has changed since the evil despot monarchs of any age. They stand in their fine linen and gowns, parading to the world as if they're some cultured elite. And down in the basement, in the dungeons, there's the rattling of chains and the slamming of doors and the muffled screams of the abused. And one of these abused is someone who dared to release documents to we the people so that we could understand the evil that infests our governments and our organizations and our institutions. And they're trying to give him his comeuppance. Of course, you can see that little piece on my website, conspiracy-cafe.com, and look it over in more detail. Here in my own country, the head of our Navy, Admiral Norman, was put on charge previously. And they were hanging him out to dry because they said he released cabinet secrets to an arms company supplying the Canadian Navy with a new supply ship. And it's just been a witch hunt from beginning to end. But it finally was laid to rest where the Crown dropped the charges. Because they had to. Because one of his former colleagues, the head of the Canadian Army, a lieutenant general, who just happened to be a Liberal member of Parliament, took on fearless leader Trudeau and said the truth. That basically what was going on is this government was trying to undo the previous government's contract on this supply ship to bring in a new contract, and of course all the gravy that comes with it, for their own personal profit and Paradise Islands, I imagine. And he said, I will testify for my brother. He stood up for his brother. Because he stood up for his brother, a major injustice was corrected. The most important thing was This government that's here, Comrade Trudeau's, cared not about the Navy. Our supply ships are so old and dilapidated that they were useless in the last few years of their life. But we got to a point where we don't have any anymore. And we're going to send men to war without resupply. You run out of ammunition, you run out of fuel, you just drift in the Atlantic and hope maybe one of the allies sends something to pick you up or get you out. They care not. They care absolutely not about our defense, our safety, our soldiers and sailors and airmen standing up for what we think is our country. It is just absolutely mind-boggling. So I suggested to the Minister of Defense years ago, it's probably a cheaper way is to buy a civilian ship and just divert it into military use, so at least we could get fuel and ammunition and some resupply to our ships as a stopgap measure until we get proper naval resupply ships. So they did a half measure. They bought one and they converted it. Really, we need at least two. And ideally, we should have three. We should have one with ice-breaking capability to go into the Arctic. But that gets in the way of all the other games that our leaders play. A senator here in Canada has stood up. And she's not really getting much, play in the public media about this. Lynn Bayak. And, of course, our senators are appointed by the Prime Minister's office. They're not elected. And she posted material on her website talking about these residential schools from the past. And she's been publicly flayed by the Senate. And this is just absolutely terrible. She was called that horrible R word. You have racist letters on your website. No, what you have is the truth. You were telling the truth about what the residential schools were in the past. And the word racist, as soon as anyone uses it, you know who came up with that word racist? It was Comrade Lenin. He invented that word. That if you're ever in a debate that you can't win, you call your adversary a racist. So that the debate collapses and you walk away with the victory. Why are we using Comrade Lenin's tactics? Unless we're fellow travelers. But her letters posted were historical documents. They were accurate. They were correct. And to set the record straight, in those days, the horse and buggy days, I don't even know if it's possible for the modern generation to even come to grips with the fact there were no roads. If you wanted to get anywhere, you had to go by rail, unless you were good at canoeing or walking long distances or riding a horse. So there was no way to get around. Your school was a little one-room schoolroom, and everybody was in it, and all the grades. And then when you wanted to go to a higher level, you had to leave your little village or community. Even the great city of Toronto wasn't much of a city way back then. There's pictures at Casa Loma here in Toronto with deer hanging on a building that still exists today. It's being constructed over, but there were deer hanging from there right in downtown Toronto, like 8 or 10 of them in a row from the hunters because the city stopped at College Street, and then you got into mud roads. Everybody went to residential schools, including the royal family, Winston Churchill, and a lot of them were beaten and abused, even in the more modern era. Chuck didn't do so well in some of these residential schools. He was tormented horribly. But that was the game. Everybody shared it. To say so somehow you were singled out for being racist is that we took you out of wherever, some terribly remote place in Canada, and sent you to a school. Well, we did the same thing to everyone. So it was hardly that you were being centered out. It's just that's the way things were done. And people just don't seem to be able to grasp that in the modern era. U.S. seizes North Korean ship it accuses of violating sanctions. Well, that could be an interesting thing. Usually wars get started better when North Korea seizes a ship or North Vietnam, and then the heat comes off. But, ultimately, if we're going to have sanctions and blockade North Korea, well, we may at times have to take some action. I don't really trust Kim Jong-un. I know I've done shows on another network here in Toronto, the conspiracy show, about the prophecies of Gang Il-sung. You know, maybe one day I should do a segment on that because they are absolutely chilling. He was a Korean mystic, and he said this war that would come in the Koreas would result in Seoul being destroyed in flames and fire. An invading army would come and conquer the country, but the worst part of it was they would take home a biological entity that would lay waste to their populations. And I think that was one of the things that got them to the bargaining table, because that's the other big thing North Korea is working on, is biological weapons, and that's not really getting much press at all. But they are masters of that, too. U.S. crafting surrender document, not a peace plan for the Palestinians. Well, that just goes without saying, because they're not a strong military force. They're completely encircled. They're being abused from every direction. So they only have one option, is to basically surrender. And we'll help them do that. It's just a shame. It's hard to understand how a culture like Israel, having been the victim of oppression, would be so keen to want to use oppression on another small select group. It just doesn't seem to make sense. You can attract more with honey than you're going to get with the crack of the whip. B-52 bombers land in Qatar as U.S. Naval Strike Group approaches the Persian Gulf. So hopefully this isn't the big one, because $20 a gallon for gas probably wouldn't go over too well if there's a major supply disruption somewhere, if the strait is closed. So I don't look forward to any sort of war. I think they're all orchestrated, especially these oil wars. This is like the oldest bit of history going on. That's why I really like this TV show from Britain, the miniseries, Riley, Ace of Spies. It is on the internet. Do watch it. I've gone to episode 4. First one starts in Baku, where the Russians have the oil reports from the Middle East, because all the new ships don't burn coal, they're going to burn oil, and we got to get it before anybody else does. And it just goes into different wars, the Port Arthur attack in Manchuria, and you can just see in a very, very real sense, it's not fantasy like James Bond, but what a foreign agent does, how wars get started, what infiltration is involved. It is very well done in the British style, as masters of that sort of art. And these people are absolutely ruthless, almost to the point of being psychopaths. 1,000 Israeli soldiers arrive in Honduras to train troops, police on border protection. You wouldn't think that would be all that hard, but these areas in Central and South America, too, have always been pressure points, going way back to even when Smedley Butler was a Marine, conquering nations and holding people slaves. It's just he saw the light and changed. And we have to pray to God that many other people in authority see that light and change, to get outside of these paradigms that take us in a wicked dance and circle, to take us maybe to that place, Mount Megiddo, known as Armageddon in Israel. Somehow I get the feeling a diversion would be a good thing, and we find a better way than that solution. Trump picks acting Pentagon chief and former Boeing executive Patrick Shanahan to become the next Secretary of Defense. It's hard to keep a good man, but in days past, there were times, you know, some of these secretaries had terrible, terrible accidents, like James Forrestal, as he fell out of a window, they say, at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. Somehow I get the feeling he was murdered. I read newspaper accounts from that from a long, long time ago. And I think one of the main reasons for that is he was up on a lot of the really high complex technology. I've got a guest booked for next week, Stanton Friedman, to talk about the Roswell incident. And I've been reading The Day After Roswell by Philip Corso. It wasn't really my area of expertise, but things I've seen in there have just rocked my socks, let me tell you. And he was a military officer who had control over everything that was there. He'd seen it with his own eyes, wrote reports on it, examined it, extrapolated it. And knowing what he knew then, and seeing the world today, I can honestly say, I think he was right on the money about what was there at Roswell. They take this technology, they just give it to someone to develop and advance civilization. There's no, you get the patent, you get all the rights, and you get secrecy and silence. It's just yours, and whatever meetings we had to give it to you never happened. That's in the book. So when we see people like the tech giants today with their great inventions, were they their inventions? Somehow, I don't think so. One of the things he said in his book that I was reading last night just really shocked me. Many of the things shocked me. But he says these so-called aliens aren't aliens. They were genetically created robots. or AI, as we probably know them better. But he said they weren't here to conquer us exactly because they didn't have the resources. They would use infiltration to get into us. They would wear us down. And that's almost like our governments are doing to us now and corporations. They're infiltrating everywhere, wearing us down. We're in some kind of low-grade war to take control of the planet. And I've always liked that show, The Invaders. I forgot about the one that was the week before when I was talking to you last time. So The Possessed was how they could take over someone's mind by microchipping them and putting computer elements in the base of the neck and operating them by remote control. That's not too far-fetched then in the 60s, and it's not far-fetched at all now in the 90s. But the one before was called Task Force. I'd forgotten about that one. That was the one where they take control over all the media. All the media executives are subverted, and if you don't cooperate, you're eliminated, and a stooge is put in your place. So that way they could control the propaganda matrix and get us to believe anything. I think today we call that fake news, but a very interesting parallel, and maybe one we can explore further with Dr. Friedman. He's 85 and has officially retired, but like a good man, he's not completely retired, and he volunteered to come out and extrapolate on some of these issues for us. Chelsea Manning released from jail. Hooray! And I have to say Chelsea, because there's new laws coming along in the United States, you know. Sometimes they don't get front page things. There's something going through called the Equality Act, which isn't equality at all. It's forcing everyone, basically, under penalty of God only knows what, to accept all this gender modification. And that if you resist, then you will be the equivalent of the racist of the day from previous legislation. And God only knows what they can do to you. It will force employers to cover abortion, force employers to pay for sex reassignment, force businesses and schools to open their bathrooms to just the one new gender, force the military to pay for reassignment procedures, force faith-based adoption agencies to violate their convictions that every child deserves both a mother and a father, and force small business owners to violate their beliefs on marriage, sexuality, or gender. In general, it threatens freedom of speech, freedom of association, and the free exercise of religious rights of countless people. And it's being shoved through, whether you like it or not, because there's a hidden hand somewhere that's waging some sort of war against us. It just seems like this came out of the blue. In all nations, all at the same time, everyone was reading from the same script. So how do governments all around the world, local and national, all arrive with this new agenda? Who gave it? Reminds me of, like that other old film, They Live. There is that hidden hand, that hidden force. Is it the alien force or just some demonic force? Or are they both connected together? Chaos erupts as Alabama delays vote on abortion because they put in a part about incest and rape that wasn't there before. But by and large, I look at this atrocity in our modern era as the greatest genocide that was ever committed on the planet Earth by the human race, bar none. In the past, we extolled popular opinion, and we enslaved races because popular opinion and the Supreme Court said they weren't human. In another era, another country, popular opinion and their Supreme Court said another race wasn't human and they were genocided. And by the power of our stupidity and popular opinion and the Supreme Court, we declare that a child in the womb is not human. But I believe it was Georgia came up with the heartbeat law. That sounds like a step in the right direction and an atonement for our sins. 700 California public school students to stay home to protest LGBT curriculum. Go get them, kids. You shouldn't have to be forced into a belief system that is just fraught with errors, really. Trump outlines plans to stop surprise medical building. Well, as a Canadian, we don't get that too much to a degree, but I've heard the horror stories from the States, and you shouldn't be getting surprises. You should be getting treatment. But then I don't think I could be a doctor because I think I'd want to give away my skills for as low cost as possible or free if possible because people need them. And that's not a business plan exactly. Trump increases China tariffs as trade deal hangs in the balance. If you get into high-end negotiations, I've done union management negotiations and things like that. It's like the giant poker game. Like I remember one of my first times, you get into negotiations for like 16, 18 hours straight. And that was my first time, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I just go, ooh, yuck. I look awful. Well, I'm never going to let myself look like that again. So for the next round of negotiations, I want to look clean and sharp when it's over, all the way through, because you're fighting a long, tense battle for something. And this one is done in the open air in public, and we get to hear the machinations of it. But by and large, any severe negotiations are very tense all the way along the line, and this one even more so because there could be some military aspects. New Cold War, trade war puts China-U.S. ties at risk. Well, sometimes I wonder why we even went to China when they were a hardcore communist nation back in the day. It just didn't seem to make any sense to me, but I guess I wasn't building a world government. PepsiCo ends lawsuits against Indian potato farmers. I don't believe in these patents on life. God created the heavens and the earth, and he didn't form a patent. He gave us all this stuff for free. That these corporations can try to patent God's work is an apostasy, in my opinion. Federal legislation requires full audit of America's gold reserves. Boy, I'd like to be a fly on the wall when they open some of those vaults, let me tell you, because there may be an echo effect inside. Or people, organizations, and such, all pretending to go to the moon. Very interesting as well. Anyway, we're starting to hear the music. We're coming up for the break. We're going to have some news, and then we're going to come back with one of America's foremost commentators, Scott Bennett, man who has served his nation truly and well. I'm George Freund. This is Power Hour Nation. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio Superfood. I've taken Bio Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Froehling. Joining us for the rest of the show is going to be Scott Bennett, one of the just top public speakers in alternative media that we have, someone who's devoted his life and laid it on the line for humanity, his country, human civilization, and just good, clean decency. Usually, when we're called, most people run away and scatter. Very, very few, I've learned in life, will stand firm, especially when the lead is flying or there's a price or a risk to pay. And that's what separates the men from the boys, as they used to say a long time ago. But every now and again, there's a certain individual or small group of individuals who will stand firm, who will hold the line, who will buy time for their fellows so that they can catch up and return to the struggle. And Scott is one of them. I've heard him on other formats here in Toronto. I've heard him on the Power Hour. And I've always felt a good sense of relief, knowing that he was manning the barricades then and now to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, the American people, the world, basically, because all these evil machinations are coming at us from every direction and every corner of the globe. And without people like that, we are just doomed. Welcome aboard, Scott. It's good to have you here. How are you today?
George, it's fabulous to be with you, and I'm very honored by that introduction. That's extremely poetic and kind and spiritually nourishing, so I appreciate that very much, my friend. And it's an honor to have fellow warriors that recognize, you know, what's the cost, what's going on, and, of course, what's our heavenly reward.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I've, you know, looked over your bio and heard about it. I've had similar effects in the world as well. When we're dealing with the world, it is an evil machination. When I was a peace officer, there was a lot of rot, still is. Mm. And, you know, I've had to look down the barrel of a loaded gun and be threatened with death. But that was from one of my colleagues, not from a criminal element. So from the criminal element, yes, I've been shot at, but I accept that as, you know, that's just the way you do business, and it's just a thing of the trade. But to have your machinations of what you think life is about or the world is about shattered by the evil that seems to manifest all over the place at almost any level of government in any country was a wake-up call. But I stood firm, and I told the individual, go ahead and pull the trigger. But I'm a policeman, I'm in a police car, and I'm wearing a uniform. And here in Canada, you get 25 years for killing a policeman. And if you think 25 years in jail as a policeman yourself is worth the price, I'll just be laughing at you from one end of the world to the other, buddy. And I won't say what some of the other stuff was because this is a family show. But, it won't be fun in there for you. So you just go right ahead, and we'll see what happens. But so he decided to put his pistol back in the holster and turn around and walk away. But that's the courage you have to stand up for a godly purpose, is to say, what we're doing is for the greater good of humanity, and we are ordained, not that you get like a big parade or something like that, but the people who follow this troth that we have with our Creator to stand firm and protect the people. And that's why I say there's only one job on the planet Earth. It's the shepherd. No matter what you do, you're a shepherd to the flock, from the smallest to the highest. If you're shepherding the flock, you're doing the right thing. And if you're just bagging all the money and running off to some offshore island, well, you should probably be in jail.
Yeah.
So tell us, for people who are new, because we're on a new network now with Wren's as well, give us a little background on your faith journey and how it started to start out and evolve into what it is today.
Yeah, well, my website, people can see me at shellgamewhistleblower.com, and that's got my YouTube and my Facebook. I have to get a new YouTube because they took it down when I did the analysis on the New Zealand shooting. They didn't like that we were pointing out some of the scientific irregularities about that and the no doubt PSYOP dimensions of it and the probable false flag that was, so they took down my YouTube as a result. But that's good because it gives me the opportunity to file a class action claim against YouTube and do it with several other people who've been victimized, including Press TV, by the way. The Iranian news channel was taken down from YouTube, probably because we've appeared on it, and Jim Fetzer has, and many others have. Just speaking truth. Just speaking truth as we see it, as God gives it to us about situations, about people, about incidents. And I've always found that is the only purpose that I speak. The only reason for my existence is to speak the truth and boldly proclaim it in the best way I can. So shellgamewhistleblower.com is the website, and I've got my report up there, Shell Game. That was my report as a military officer. But to even start before all that, I'll say I was a born-again Christian when I was 21 years old. I remember that day very vividly, falling to my knees and reading that little tract my old aunt had put in a Bible since I was born. And everything changes. The world turns from gray, black, and white to full color and five dimensions. And that was the birth. And many years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. in 1998 to fight the Clinton regime that I thought was ruining Christian morals and society in America. And I went to Washington, and I was that was my ministry. And I went in and worked at Heritage Foundation, Leadership Institute, the Republican National Committee. Then I got my master's, my Ph.D., and worked in Heritage Foundation, the think tank, worked with Family Research Council, the Bush administration, and then I was offered a position in Booz Allen Hamilton to do psychological warfare because I had done that in my master's, and I had experiences working in advertising and Hollywood and such. So I went into Booz Allen Hamilton after the Bush administration and was offered a direct commission officer position in the Army in psychological warfare after I had attended a meeting with General Dick Myers and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. And there's a video of that, and I stand up and ask a question, and there's an interplay between us, and Rumsfeld said, well, you should just join up. And I got a call from a Colonel Jeff Jones saying, I'm putting together a special team of PSYOP warriors, and we're going to go after soft power and a lot of other stuff. And I want you in, and if you're interested in leaving the administration. So I did. And that was the beginning of the military-industrial complex revelations for me. Mind you, this was after 9/11, and I had never questioned 9/11. I'd never thought about it, even though I drove past the Pentagon the day after the alleged plane had struck the Pentagon, which I many years later came back and relived in my mind. And I said to myself, boy, I remember driving by the building and there was no plane wreckage on the grass. And that's impossible when a 767 comes down allegedly, of course, defying the laws of physics and airlift and how planes fly and gravity and density of air and speed, as well as big traffic lights and all sorts of other things, and a reinforced concrete bunker in the strongest building in the world. There's no plane parts anywhere. There's no massive engines. There's just a big hole with a blue tarp covering it. There's no skid marks on the grass. So when I relived that memory, I thought, I have first-hand knowledge. There was no plane that struck the Pentagon. So everything that they said about the Pentagon was a lie. Mind you, I came to that revelation after I'd been thrown in jail by the Obama administration for revealing the Clinton Foundation, Saudi Arabian, Swiss bank links of terrorism. So that's kind of the nutshell of the crux. But even before that, I'll say, when I was in Booz Allen Hamilton in the Army, I worked at high levels of counterterrorism. I was at the State Department. I was at SOCOM, CENTCOM. I was all over. I had a top secret SCI clearance, and I never talked about things classified. But I was sent down to U.S. Central Command to look at my boss, Dov Zakheim, who was the comptroller at the Pentagon. And he was also now Booz Allen Hamilton's man, mining and manipulating the terrorist financing operations. So I went down to be part of his team, and my boss, Colonel Jeff Jones, had given me some instructions to dig around and look what was happening and what he was doing. And I did. And next thing I know, I'd start discovering all sorts of fraud and corruption and Saudi Arabian irregularities. Saudi Arabia was my country. And all sorts of other things that was being done by the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton State Department and Obama and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and a Swiss banker, Brad Birkenfeld, who was a Swiss banker who had brought over all of these accounts to the United States after he was targeted by the CIA. And Edward Snowden was part of that CIA team in Bern, Switzerland, that targeted him. And when I started digging around and finding out things and briefing my superiors and saying, you know, making reports to solve and win the war, to finish the war that was started, which they didn't want, the next thing I know, I'm stopped at the front gate. I'm accused of a DUI, which was thrown out later because it was absolutely false. Of course, I thought it was a training operation. I thought it was a training exercise to see how strong I was. Would I break? Would I endure? Because I was going to be deployed over to Afghanistan and Iraq. So it was sort of a SEER training, you know, search, evasion, resistance, and escape. So I was Army, and I'm going, okay, well, this is part of the training. But it wasn't part of the training. It was actually a deep state operation to vomit me out from their gizzard area that I was deeply entrenched into. And all of the stuff I had found out, they didn't like. They didn't want me to continue. So they conveniently threw me off base and, you know, said, well, your clearance is suspended because we stopped you on base, and your housing form is done improperly. Even though they had set up my housing, they used that, to say, I was no longer allowed on base. And they sent me back to Washington, told me to be quiet, interestingly enough. And Donna Shalala's nephew, was given to me as my attorney, not my first attorney, but my second attorney. He sort of sidled up next to me and, said, oh, I'm going to represent you in this, you know, this case against, Booz Allen Hamilton, because they had charged me with making a false statement on a housing form. The first time in the history of the United States, a private, you know, Department of Justice, civilian Department of Justice was going to charge a military officer on a military base for signing a military form. Was the most bizarre unconstitutional thing I could imagine. But, you know, again, I thought, is this a test? It's too Twilight Zone to be real. And to make a long story short, David Shalala, Donna Shalala's nephew, which now has, and let me do a quick tangent, it has an eerie similarity to what they did to George Papadopoulos. Remember, Papadopoulos was the energy advisor who was flown out to meet with the British academic Halperin, I think his name was, and he had the assistant, Azra Turk, who is this, you know, hot blonde girl, and allegedly she's trying to seduce him. And the next thing you know, they're asking him and taping him about Hillary Clinton emails and stuff. And then they get him into a FBI sting and arrest him. Well, they did the same thing to me with Donna Shalala's nephew, David Shalala. And Donna Shalala was the president of the Clinton Foundation. So all of these pieces of the deep state puzzle started to come against me, though I didn't know it at the time. And we're seeing a lot of it come out now because we made the president and all sorts of people aware of this from 2012 to 2000 to presently, really. But they had thrown me under the bus. David Shalala didn't represent me, just walked into court, gave them a guilty conviction, basically. And I didn't plead guilty at all, but they had this mock kangaroo court. The military didn't even provide me a military attorney. So this was a high-level military deep state Obama administration coordinated attack. The CIA were even attacking me. They had invented a false story about me dressing up as a police officer on Fort Myer military base, which was the ludicrous thing I ever heard, because I am a military officer. I don't need to dress up to get onto a base. But yet they invented that so that the Judge Virginia Hernandez Covington, who is related to the law firm Covington and Burling, which Covington and Burling was a law firm that Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Dove Zakheim's son, Roger Zakheim, worked for. So we start to see the incestuousness, and you can't make this up. It's all documented. It's all you can lay out all this on a big whiteboard. And indeed, Epoch Times has. And they have a show Declassified, and they include some of the Birkenfeld material. But we've been talking to people at Epoch Times and giving them the real deeper information. I also talked to Oliver Stone and his son and his staff and gave them this, and they put it in their film Snowden with the scene where the Pakistani banker is thrown into a CIA jail. That was Brad Birkenfeld. That really did happen. But Birkenfeld, funny enough, God works in miraculous ways. And had I not been, arrested and thrown in jail, I would never have met the Swiss bank whistleblower that had all the 19,000 bank accounts that he had brought over and the WikiLeaks cables. So the white hats and God directing them put me on a bus to go to California, that turned the bus around and sent it to Pennsylvania where I met this whistleblower. And I was in jail for 2 years, basically like a writer's retreat. It was a camp. There were no fences. But I wrote this report because I was still a military officer. I was still a military officer in the civilian prison, basically Shanghai'd, and I meet the whistleblower that has all of the finances accounts that the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris and the Moroccans and the United Arab Emirates and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris were all using to fund their Sunni Wahhabi Salafist militias and mercenaries that were rampaging in Libya, in Syria, and all over the place where U.S. Central Command was. So when I saw Brad and we sat down for 6 months in jail over a bocce court, an Italian bowling ball bocce court, and some other military guys I won't mention that were in there, I said, all of this is the terrorist financing material that I was looking for at U.S. Central Command. And here I come to jail and I get it from you here. I get the WikiLeaks cables that describe Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and Covington and Burling, the law firm, and working out deals to get terrorists out of Guantanamo in exchange for Swiss government money and guarantees. This is the real shell game, the real pay-to-play operation that Hillary Clinton did in 2009. So this is before Uranium One, and this is why this is going to be the lethal blow that I think really slices the guts out of the deep state in a way that President Trump can prosecute like there's no tomorrow. Because I would testify, Brad would testify, Julian Assange would even testify, and Edward Snowden would testify that Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, Booz Allen Hamilton, the CIA, the law firm Covington & Burling, Eric Holder, Lanny Breuer, Hillary Clinton, Stuart Eisenstadt, all conspired to put together a terrorist financing racketeering operation involving the government of Switzerland, Union Bank of Switzerland, Robert Wolf, chairman of the Americas, who you see on Fox now and then, who's talked about Trump. And I know Trump may have Swiss bank accounts, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the cover-up that occurred when I, as a military reporter, military officer, tried to report this up my chain of command. And I sent it to General Mattis. I sent it to General Michael Flynn. Interestingly, a month later, Michael Flynn wrote a DIA cable that described Saudi Arabia and Qatar and financing ISIS and all the bad guys over in the Syrian operation. And that was because of Brad Birkenfeld and myself. And we weren't looking for gratuity. I was doing my duty to save soldiers and Marines and airmen and sailors that were in harm's way because they were getting killed and blown up and maimed and crippled with money that was buying weapons to use against them, and we could stop it. I could have stopped it overnight. I could have worked with, and remember, I worked with all the interagencies when I was at U.S. Central Command. I worked with CIA. I worked with FBI. I worked with Treasury. I worked with Agriculture. I worked with HHS. I worked with all the agencies of the United States government, their liaisons. We could have shut down every bank account that Brad Birkenfeld had bought, indicted every single financier of terrorism, put out a freezing and the seizing of assets, and done an Interpol warrant, and overnight we would have had hundreds of millions of dollars in the United States coffers, and that would have been in there today because and instantly you would have shut down the financing of terrorism. That's what I'm pissed off about, that they never did that. In fact, they kept me in jail, and they refused to let me out. They refused to give me a military attorney. They refused all of this stuff. And I have copies of every letter that went out to the media and to members of Congress. I had several members of Congress write about me in furious fear, such as Senator Bill Nelson of Florida, where U.S. Central Command was located. And no doubt he saw a lot of the material. And I know for a fact I sent him the preliminary report on Shell Game, and he wrote Senator Dianne Feinstein about me and put it up on his website. And of course, I saved a copy of that when I saw it. And he said, "Who is this Scott Bennett? How does he know Edward Snowden? How does he have a security clearance? How does he have all this material?" He sent it to Dianne Feinstein. She was the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And it's the Senate Intelligence Committee chairwoman respond with, "Yes, we need to find out who this Bennett is. Do we need to find out the material? We need to research this. We need to understand our terrorists being financed by these Swiss banks. We need to have him and Birkenfeld testify." Did she say anything of that nature? No. Senator Dianne Feinstein covered it up like the coward and the traitor she is. Senator Bill Nelson covered it up like the coward and the traitor he is, and they both should be executed for treason in a court-martial after given due process of law, but they should be executed because they committed treason, and kids are dead because of it. Kids are crippled because of it. That's what I will never forgive. I will never stop, because these soldiers, especially these young enlisted, look to their officers to save their lives, to give them truth, to protect them, to not put them in harm's way, and certainly not to finance the bad guys and their weapons to be used against their own kids. That's what it's beyond my ability to express and even contain when I relive what I saw and what they failed to do. And I took this to Michael Cohen, President Trump's attorney. I recorded the phone call. I also took it to other members of Congress and recorded my interactions there. They've done nothing. Marc Desaulniers ran like a coward with a tail between his legs, but he'll hang too. Donna Shalala, who just won the Florida Congress race, she's going to hang because she conspired with her nephew and Hillary Clinton of the Clinton Foundation to bury me. Well, I'll be the one burying her after a court of law, after due process, of course. And we also see Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, was recorded on the radio with me and with others who called him. I called his Trump's office in 2015 and gave Michael Cohen, secretary, all of the stuff. And then again in 2016, Michael Cohen either committed treason or failed to advise the president, but that will come out. The president's been given this, and I trust the president. I like the president. I want him to succeed. I think he's better than anything we have, but he's got to be very careful with this because he cannot cover it up. It will never be covered up, and I don't think he will. I think he will stand, and I think he will prosecute these people in the right time and the right unfolding, but it will be prosecuted. Even if I have to go down to court and file a civil suit and a criminal complaint and a whistleblowing report in the federal appeals court, which I can do, to expose all of this. So, these people who've been reported, Michael Cohen, all the senators and the congressmen, the military chain of command, General James Mattis knew about this. He was the commander of U.S. Central Command. He was fired by Obama shortly thereafter. General Flynn, of course, was fired shortly thereafter as well. So there's a lot more material that can be examined. And Julian Assange is one of the greatest witnesses that the president could have and issue a pardon for after he testifies about this, because you will see the WikiLeaks cables, which I have in my book, that detail Hillary Clinton's State Department decisions to cover this up, steal the money she stole out of 19,000 bank accounts. Only 4,000 were investigated. The other 15,000 disappeared, covered up, were taken, confiscated, put in their own personal coffers. The certain people that had those accounts were bribed. That's the real cover-up pay to play. And that's also what Hillary Clinton had on her private servers, her private emails. And Chris Farrell and Tom Fenton know about this. I remember speaking with Chris Farrell. So all of this is coming out. People don't know about it. I'm glad for Rents Radio and the people who pay attention to the alternative media. And I'm glad you're speaking and raising the flag, George, because people who've never heard this before need to see it with fresh eyes and understand that the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton will be prosecuted.
Amen. Anyway, we're coming up to a break. It's time for the news. This is Power Hour Nation, the one nation that can still claim to be under God. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund, with Scott Bennett. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks for being there.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.